Good evening, Mayor and Council. Thank you all for coming to this special briefing that we have for tonight. Every so often, if we find something that we feel needs to come in front of council, we do so. In this case, there are a couple of new tools that we're looking to add to the toolbox for Beaches Energy. Based on the complexity around the two different tools, we felt it beneficial to have a briefing with you to go through a full presentation and see if there are any questions that you have before we ultimately put resolutions in front of you at the council meeting for consideration. This way, you can take as much time to ask questions. I'm going to turn it over to Alan Putnam, who's going to talk to you a little bit about the two topics and the special guest that we have here for our presentation.
Yeah, so just a couple things to mention. The two things we're going to discuss are discounted natural gas purchase program. We're not new to this. At Florida Municipal Power Agency, we do these on a regular basis. We've probably done, we just count them up, 15 in the last 3-4 years. So we're not new to this. This is something that we do as a group at FMPA. You're not really aware of it. At FGU, however, we don't. So this is going to be an individual program that we would run just for the city. The second one is a natural gas hedging opportunity. Again, we do that at both FMPA, Florida Municipal Power Agency. We also do it at FGU. We're members of both organizations. They do it on a continual basis. We've never done it individually as a city before. So that's why Katie is here to present to you today. So I have Katie Hall, General Manager and CEO of Florida Gas Utility.
Thank you all for having me and taking the time to let me present to you tonight. The first one is a little more straightforward. The second one in particular can be quite tricky. So feel free to jump in at any time, ask me questions along the way, or we can talk about them at the end. But this first one, hopefully this one is exciting, especially because this is an opportunity to save gas or save money on your gas costs, and there's virtually no downside to it. So we're going to walk you through it just so you understand how it works, so you don't think it's too good to be true. So this first
slide. By the way, everybody has that same question. It's too good to be true.
Yeah.
But it is.
And I will say that a couple times just so you know it isn't really, it really is very straightforward. So a little bit just about us, since this is the first opportunity I've had to present to you, but Florida Gas Utility, or FGU, we are a nonprofit municipal joint action agency. Just as Alan said, that's the same thing that Florida Municipal Power Agency is on the electric side. We are on the gas side. We're the only two joint action agencies in the state. They're kind of like a fancy name for a co-op. So we are a nonprofit, and we are made up of just municipalities. We specialize, though, in natural gas. We've been doing this over 30 years. Gas supply and capacity management are our primary focus, but we do have a whole variety of other gas-related services that we provide. We have 26 municipal members. Sorry, didn't mean to catch you out there.
No,
we have 26.
I wasn't confused and I misread.
That's okay.
Put Mike in charge of the slide.
Molly, yeah. I'm on top of
Katie, just point at me when you're ready to
Okay, if you have a hard copy, that's a good thing.
So we do have 26 municipalities that are our members. You guys have been a member since 2019. Of those 26 members, 6 of them are electric generation. So we buy all the gas for FMPA, which you are a member of. So you're already getting some of our gas through the electric side, and you buy it directly from us for your LDC side. The other remaining 21 members are local distribution systems such as yourself. So we are one of the largest shippers on FGT, which is the primary pipeline in the state. So we do have quite a bit of buying power and have some special provisions. Next. So this opportunity today is discounted natural gas supply. This discount is achieved through what we call a prepay transaction. We try to stay away from the term prepay because that tends to make people nervous. This does not require prepayment by the city, okay? The prepayment terminology comes from where this discounted gas is achieved is a difference between taxable and tax-exempt interest rates. And usually when it has to be a spread on that. And what we do is anybody that wants to get financing wants the tax-exempt rate, which is typically lower. So we split the difference in that rate. They get savings on their financing, and in exchange, they prepay for the natural gas. So that's where the discount is achieved, and that's where the prepay term comes from. So it is a 30-year commitment. You have to go out pretty far. That's how we get the spreads to get you a big enough discount. You are not currently participating in any of these deals directly, but you are getting benefit from what we call our system supply, which is a pool of gas we buy for all of our members. We have some discounted gas in that pool that is currently achieving about 30 cents a decatherm. Decatherm is the unit we buy gas in. Don't get too caught up in that unit. Just know that's what we talk about. But we're bringing an opportunity here for you guys to participate directly for an even better discount. Next slide. So here's the key terms of this opportunity. It's the quantities there for the winter is 485 decatherms a day and 686 decatherms a day in the summer. So that is about 80% of your average daily use. Typically, we would recommend breaking these up into a couple different transactions just because diversity is typically a better decision. However, this discount, they're telling us a minimum of 65 cents. I have 60 in here just to give us a little bit of cushion, just in case we get to 64. I don't want to lose the opportunity. But at 60 cents, that is, or 65 cents is by far the largest discount of any transaction in the entire country.
You said they're telling, who's they?
They, hold on. Oh, for the discounted transaction? Yeah, is Municipal Gas Authority of Georgia. Is telling us a minimum of 65 cents. And they are basically the Georgia version of FGU. They're how we specialize in gas supply and capacity. They specialize in these prepaid transactions.
Okay.
So they have done probably maybe 30 of these transactions, of which we participated in probably 15 of those.
Okay.
So we trust them. We know them very, you know, they have stuck to their word when they've given us minimum discounts. So they've achieved all of those.
So where does this gas come from? From Georgia?
No, so we actually, that's a very good question. That's kind of complicated to answer. So a lot of this actually is a paper transaction. So we can go and secure who we want to provide our gas. So we still shop around for the best gas, and then they just apply the discount on top of it. Because it's basically a financial transaction.
I'm just curious, who are the suppliers? Where does this get, does it come from? Louisiana?
Most of it comes from anywhere from Texas. The FGT pipeline originates in Texas and goes around the Gulf Coast and comes into Florida. However, there are several pipelines that connect to it along the way. So it's a whole network across the whole United States.
Okay.
And some of the pipes actually will reverse flow. So we can bring it from different locations, which changes from time to time. But we transact with over 80 different suppliers every day. So we shop it around, find the best deals, and then we attach the discount on top of it. So we get you the best price gas and on top, and this discount.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, will you just for me for a second, will you back up one page, please?
You just want to see if I could do it.
Okay. All right.
This contract does periodically reprice, usually every 5 to 7 years. When it does reprice, there is a minimum floor, so it has to achieve at least a 23-cent discount. If it doesn't hit that 23-cent discount, you can opt out. We would still say, though, at 23 cents, that's better than anything you can get out there right now. So you can still stay in it, but that just gives you an exit ramp. So we feel very comfortable with that. There's additional exit clauses where if you have permanent cessation or reduction in gas, so if you lose some of your big customers and your whole load goes down, we can unwind that part of it. There's no penalty. Additionally, if gas, all of a sudden there's some new energy source and gas is non-existent, again, you can unwind out of this deal and there's no penalty whatsoever. I will also tell you, we have actually challenged this because we had an industrial customer that closed down and it all worked perfectly. So we know that this is tried and true tested. However, when we met originally, FMPA is such a large user of gas that if you did lose it or not need this anymore, they would probably pick it up. So you probably wouldn't even have to unwind it.
So the discount floats with the market, so to speak, right?
Correct.
And so if you have a crash in a market or a spike, then the discount stays in place, it's just following the market prices.
Correct. So, and that's why you kind of are a little bit at the mercy of the market when it reprices.
Right.
So some deals that priced back in like 2017 came into market about 2021, they didn't get very good discounts. We had our first deal start to reprice last year and we actually got better discounts.
Okay.
Than the original. So you are a little bit at the mercy of the market.
So we have anywhere between 8 cents and 57 cent discounts in all these transactions we've already done. So this is a really big discount.
So
they're all over
the 23 cents you mentioned of a minimum that you would have regardless. Is that based off what we could otherwise normally get? from the market?
The 23 cents is just, that's a number that they've set to just say that's your minimum floor. So that there's not really any rhyme or reason to that. That's just a good enough discount that hopefully people stay in it. Because you can't get anywhere close to that if you just ride the spot market right now.
You're saying that's not contractual though. The 23 cents.
Oh, it is contractual. Yep. No, that's in there. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If they decided they couldn't meet that, then they've effectively opted out of it.
Correct. Yep. Any other? This is the main meat of it. So if there's any questions here, this is kind of the meat of the transaction. Okay. The next slide. So this is what that annual savings would be. So based on those volumes that I just presented, that's about 220,000 decatherms per year, and that annual savings is a little over $132,000. That does not include that system supply discount that I referred to that you are already receiving, so this would be incremental savings. This additionally, you are not required to pass this on. So most of our cities do, because they just feel that that's a discount to their customers. But you can save it, use it for capital costs, use it to do a rate stabilization fund. You can use that for whatever you want. You are not obligated to pass it on. But it's pretty sizable savings, like I said, for virtually doing nothing, right? It's a contract. It's not even a contract. It's just a directive to us. So, okay. And then I think the last slide is just all we would need is a directive that we provided to the city. So you already have a gas services agreement in place with Florida Gas Utility. We're the one that then actually signs the agreement, and then all of our members just have a directive that says, yes, please participate at the volumes that are provided. So it's pretty seamless from that perspective. And again, if you want out of it or have a reduction, we have lots of other members that would pick it up. So
just to help me understand, so this is directly for gas usage, natural gas usage. Does this apply to the gas used for producing electricity?
This deal here does not, but you
it's
get
it's the same deal. Yes. They're doing the same thing at FMPA that we're doing, right? That we're hoping to do here.
Okay.
So yes, you're getting this benefit through the electric as well, but these volumes are not related to your electric demand.
Okay.
So why now? Where has this been?
It's been here.
You only get so many opportunities. Like you said, the rate spread. Yeah. That rate spread's there. You have it. It could dry up in a year or two.
Okay.
We'd have no opportunity then. So this is really, that's the strike while the iron's hot, right?
Mm-hmm. And from Katie, if you can review with them, I think the timing that we were looking at, if we were to adopt something as a directive in the month of May, I think it was November, that we'd be looking for something to kick in?
Yes, so this deal they were hoping was going to already be priced and closed. Then all of the tariff stuff kind of rattled the market a little bit. So we're on a holding pattern with pricing or closing this deal right now. But usually you have to do your flow date. So when this gas actually flows, it has to be like 6 months later. It's just a timing thing. Because it hasn't closed, we originally said probably a November 1st flow day. It might have to get pushed back till April of next year just to make the economics work to hit that 65 cent. So once we close, I can tell you exactly when that flow day is. But we think it's worth waiting 6 months to get a better discount in the long run for a 30-year transaction. So,
how much do we spend on natural gas every year? That's what I'm wondering.
I don't know that off the top of my head, but I can get that for you.
It's like 40,000.
I'd have to look at one of your invoices.
I don't have one this month. Usually I have one in my email. Mm-hmm.
And so our two main uses is, I know, did we... Just we supply it to the citizens who want it, and we also use it to make electricity?
Yeah, but that's not part of this. Okay. That's separately through Florida Municipal Power Association, or agency. They take care of that portion of it, the supply. This would just be to provide natural gas service to our customers here in the three cities we serve.
Okay, thank you.
And I will say every LDC, which is the local distribution system, which is what Jack's Beach or Beaches Energy is doing this. Right now you're the last one that would be completing this, which is why we're saying do that full 80% just to kind of get you guys that same benefit.
Just out of curiosity, off the topic of that, have we closed the natural gas loop throughout the city? No?
Throughout the city we have. The issue is if we lost the feed coming over Beach Boulevard, we'd be dead in the water. So we're still trying to get a grant to hopefully close that loop with people's Tico Gas that goes across, not through Nocatee.
Okay.
We're trying to get grant money.
But the city loop is closed.
We have separate loops. We have like three separate loops okay. within the city. So if something happened here, we could close that off. Everything else would still be served.
Okay.
But it's not a total. It's not a total redundant loop.
The south end is where we need to close the bigger loop of gas coming into our system.
Okay.
It'll still all depend on if TECO really wants to do it too, because there's no need for them to pay for that. But they're hoping the grant will, you know.
Right.
Get them to jump on board.
Any questions on the prepaid discount?
This doesn't impact or affect anything with the FMPA or.
Okay. No, like she said, if we decided to stop, FMPA would take that gas in a heartbeat.
Sure.
At that discount. Mm-hmm. They've already told us that they would, so.
Wonderful. Now it gets interesting. All right, so we're going to talk about natural gas financial hedging. Again, this can be a little trickier, so please feel free to interrupt at any time. So the first slide on here, what is hedging? Let's just start with the basics. So hedging is a type of investment that's intended to reduce the risk of adverse price movement. That is really important here. And we'll talk about why. So again, it's just reducing risk. So virtually any commodity can be hedged. We say corn, apples, gasoline, natural gas, you name it, you can probably hedge it. There's a variety of hedging products available, but we, especially dealing with cities, like to keep it pretty vanilla and, you know, want to make it very straightforward. So today we're just going to start with futures contracts and call options, and we'll tell you a little bit more about those. And this actually lends really well to some of the questions you had in the beginning. So the next slide is, why do we hedge? So this might be the most important slide of this whole presentation. Hedging is not an attempt to beat the market. So we never want to look at it as, are we winning or losing, you know, compared to the market. The point of it is to reduce the price volatility and achieve our budget and rate stability goals. So think of it more as an insurance policy. I'm sure all of you have homeowners insurance. You have no problem paying that, but are you upset at the end of the year if your house didn't burn down? No, right? You know that you've paid it and you sleep much better at night. So think of it the same way here. This is a protection that whether the market goes up, you're protected just in case it does. Okay?
So this works like a regular hedge fund?
Very similar.
And who's the manager?
Well, we'll tell you, we're going to lock it in because we don't speculate. We try to just achieve our stability and our goals, and we set it and leave it. We're not trying to play it.
Can I say this? So this, the reason why this became interesting to me, I knew we did it already at FMPA, but a couple years ago when natural gas spiked and went from $2.30 therm per MMBTU to like $4.50, and the hospital was calling me screaming like, hey, what are you going to do to try to reduce the price? I'm like, we're in the market. It's like we buy in the market. So that's what made me think, like, so they could have more budget certainty going forward. This was a good opportunity for them and all of our customers to be able to, like, kind of, you know, so, and so, like Katie said, we don't speculate. We, like, go, here's what we're shooting for as a target price. We lock a certain amount in at that rate, so.
Mm-hmm. And a majority of our users are larger commercial or industrial-type enterprise, not necessarily the residential. So, you know, it's the Publix with the kitchens. It's the hospital. It's a very... very large end users, where if you see a 10, 20, 30% spike in the price, they feel that for as long as it goes high. God bless you.
Bless you.
And you've nailed it. I mean, you just hit the nail on the head. That this is, again, budget goals. So a lot of our municipalities have asphalt plants, or they have fertilizer plants, or they have hospitals, or whatever it is that they're trying to price their product and have a set budget. And when the gas prices start jumping around, they're not calling because the price is high. They're calling because it's too volatile. And they're saying, one month I'm losing money, and the next month I'm making too much money. And, well, they probably don't call about that. It's mostly when they're losing too much money. But it's just the jumping around that they can't set their price for their product or hold it for any length of time. So yes, you're right on. All right, so the next slide is, when is a good time to hedge? So we're recommending a hedging policy, a really good one, is ongoing. So you kind of set your parameters and it's just always there chugging along. The problem is what we see time and time again is just what Alan said. Everything's good when prices are low, and then they start to run away and everybody goes, oh my gosh, how do I stop the bleeding? How do I get on top of this? And it's kind of a knee-jerk reaction. that is really the worst time to hedge because you're making this emotional, oh gosh, I need to do something. Where right now, while things are kind of, you know, stable, they're relatively low, this is the perfect time to hedge, and you just do it ongoing, and it's the steady drumbeat. So that's really the best time to do it, which is why we're here talking today.
So can I just to jump in on that. So at FMPA, we have a hedging program out until fiscal year 28. So that's how we do it. We look at so many months out, we try to hedge up to 75%. The next set of 6 months to 8 months out, we try to hedge at 50%. So this is exactly what we're talking about doing here. It's very similar to this. It's not hedge when the price goes up. Let's hedge all the time. You're never going to have the lowest price, but you're not going to get killed when those prices jump
way up. So you're taking the risk out of it.
Exactly.
But the cost of the risk is that if it goes lower, we still have to pay higher?
Maybe. We're gonna get there. We're almost there.
Okay.
Yes. All right. So the next slide is, let's just look at where we are currently. So right now, gas prices are between $3 and $4 a decatherm, which is roughly 30 to 40 cents a therm. We're closer to that $4 range right now. But here's what we see coming on, is LNG, I'm sure you've heard about that, liquefied natural gas. It's very popular in the news right now because we're talking about exporting it. You guys being in Jacksonville, I'm sure you hear about the ports that are being built right now to export it. It's going to cruise ships, it's going to rocket ships, it's being exported overseas, it's going to the islands, it's going everywhere.
It's going to Boston.
Is it?
There's LNG terminals.
It's going everywhere. And the problem is these LNG ports that are being built are going to be constructed and finished faster than we can get pipelines to them. So what that means is we're going to have a lot more demand, especially in the state of Florida. And the pipelines during the Biden administration, they didn't approve any new infrastructure. So we have a little bit of a lag in getting caught up on the growth. And so they are being approved now, but they're still take time. You know, there's just, you just can't build them overnight. So we have plenty of supply and we're going to have plenty of demand. We just can't get it from one location to the other right now. So all of the forecasts in the gas industry are very concerned about 2026, just because it's going to take us a little, that's when the LNG comes on or starts coming on before we can get the infrastructure to them. Additionally, we've had, even though we had that crazy week of winter in January, realistically, we haven't really had a big winter nationwide in a couple of years. And then actually, Florida is susceptible to a really high summer because they use it all for electric generation. So we haven't really tested an ongoing, even last summer, we all say it's hot, but really when you look at it, it was a fairly normal or actually slightly below normal summer. So once we start seeing, hey, this restriction, you can only fit so much gas through a pipe, when we start seeing those heavy demands, and what they do is they'll issue, they call them alert days, and that basically says you better schedule as much on the pipe as you're going to take, and they will penalize you if you go over that. We're going to start seeing more and more of that until this infrastructure catches up.
Alan, do we maintain any type of storage ourselves?
No.
No.
No. And I'm just going to say something else about this. So my perspective on this is that you used to have a price for natural gas, and it was based on U.S. market. We're no longer in that. It's a global market, right? Yeah, all this LNG leaving the country, the only difference between that price we pay and them is the transportation price. They want it, especially over in Southeast Asia. LNG is becoming popular everywhere. I mean, like I said, Boston, because they can't get natural gas pipelines in, they're building LNG terminals in Boston.
Gotcha.
Smaller ones, but not as big as these, you know, international ones. So.
And that's really a point when you said size. The LNG, let me put this in perspective. One LNG facility can use about half of the entire state of Florida in a day. They're huge. Now, they're not all that big, but I mean, if you think about half of our demand in one facility, and they're talking, I think four are being built right now, that's a lot of gas that they're going to be taking.
What are you talking per day? Four, six decatherms?
We're talking BCFs of decatherms.
So six BCFs, so they billion C.
Right now, we don't actually understand how they were approved because they're approved for more BCF than we can physically flow through the pipelines right now. I don't know how they even got approved, to be honest with you. I don't know. So we're very concerned about 2026 in particular. So this is why I'm going around trying to speak with everybody saying, please, please, please. If I'm wrong, great, right? You're protected. But if I'm right, I want you to be protected. So, okay? So the next slide on here is just to show you what these curves look like. So on the left is a one-year curve and the right is a three-year curve, but they're the same, they're exactly the same Henry Hub futures curves. We always see that little blip up in the wintertime, so that's very normal. But what I want to show you, the interesting thing here is when you just look on the one-year curve, you're like, okay, it kind of starts and ends about the same place. But when you look on the right, just as Alan was saying, we're looking further out. So let's look 3 years out. That price actually is lower. Now, I don't have a crystal ball, but I will bet my last dollar that that is not what prices actually are at when we get there 3 years out. So to me, when I see this and I see that that price is low, I'm saying, why would you not lock it in around that 350 mark? You know, because it's going to be an average roughly of your year. So you're somewhere about 350 for the year. Your customers, that's 35 cents a therm. They can afford that, right? They can budget that. They can afford that. You are not getting calls with people saying, why is my gas bill too high? That's going to hit your budget. That's going to hit their budgets. That's a really good price to have. So I sit there and say, to your point about it could go down, but what we know is that when prices are below $3, the suppliers and the wells are losing money. So it might come down in the $2 range, but it doesn't last long. And typically we see it then rebound because either people close the wells, they lay off people, they do something drastic to get back profitable, and that's when we see prices go back up. So you might lose money for a short period of time, but that $3 range is really where it's like the lowest price where people can still make money.
Well, you don't want to hedge your bets at $2, that's for sure.
Exactly. Unless you want to pay for it, right?
Right.
So we just want to point this out that this is what it looks like, but I will bet if I come back in 3 years that is not what actually happened. So, okay. So the next slide. So this shows you, this is also interesting. On the left-hand side, the blue squiggle line is what the market has actually done. So you can see we have projected up, and then you see that little sharp decline back at the beginning of this year. So a lot of the, and then on the right side, this is the forward curve that I just talked about, the three-year curve. That orange line is when you looked, that's where it was a year ago. The green line is back in October, and then that yellowish line is when we looked at this at the end of February this year. So it's about a year later. So what we're trying to show here is that they're still all, they're all in agreement that we're ending about the same spot, but as it gets closer to real time, they keep slowly bumping that price up, which is exactly what I think is going to happen as we go to that year two and year three. I think those prices are going to go up. So the fact that they're sitting there even for a year is, we're like, hey, lock it in, take advantage of that. But as you can see, we were really low. We were under 250 there back in the fall, and look, we're up over, we've approached 450, so it swung $2 in a matter of months.
Mike, can you go back one screen?
Do you think that's related to the tariffs?
I think it's related to anything that comes out in the news. So, and I can show you this here in a minute, but we have seen, I actually have a slide that shows you when something comes out that impacts it, we see it either drop or skyrocket, and then another announcement comes, and then you see it go the other way. So.
Before I ask the question, okay. Do you have a slide coming up that shows the previous 3 years?
Yes. Not 3 years, but yes, a couple years.
So we can see, okay.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I love it. You guys are thinking exactly how I was hoping you were going to think. So before we get there, if you can go to the next slide, let's talk about products, because this is going to show both what you were just asking about, the look back in time, and then to your question about how do we protect ourselves from if the price comes down. So the two products we want to talk about here is a futures contract, which is a set price, and that's what you pay. So it's almost like you just locked in that price. A call option is basically setting a ceiling. So that's the most you can pay. And there is additional premium, but if prices come down, you get the benefit of that lower price. And so what we're proposing is give us the ability to do either one, since this is an ongoing program, and we'll tell you kind of when it makes sense to do one or the other, but you're setting us the parameters that based on what the market looks like, one or the other might make more sense. Okay? So on the next slide, this is going to show what that looks like. So this is just an example. We looked back from July of 24 to July of 25. On the left-hand side, that's the blue line is what, say that's what the market actually did. That yellow line is if you would have locked in a futures contract at roughly 310. So you pay that 310 regardless of what the market's doing. On the right-hand side, this would have been a call option. Now, you always set a call option slightly higher than your futures contract. So say here it's at 340. That blue line is the same thing if the market was the exact same, but you get the benefit of paying that lower price when the market is lower, but you're still protected from that peak.
Okay? So it works just like a call option in a stock.
Exactly. Yep. Yep. So now to your question on the next slide, let's look at that in a real example of what the market did. So this is what we call the 2022 basis blowout. This is when most people locked in hedges because the market, you can see, was just out of control. And there's a lot of reasons for it that I won't bore you with, but a couple things I want to point out. That dip that happened there in the summer, in that June 2022 timeframe, that was when an LNG facility in Texas had an explosion. And as soon as it had an explosion, they were one of the large ones I referred to, about half the size of the state of Florida. So all of a sudden, we had this excess supply. You saw prices drop, I mean, dollars overnight. About 2 days later, they said, oh, it wasn't that much damage. We'll be back on by the end of the year. Bloop, prices came right back up.
And they weren't.
And every time they made an announcement, oh, just kidding, it won't be that. It won't be as long. I mean, you literally watch the announcements come out and the market jump around. So then we get back up, it stays high because everybody said, fine, we're ignoring them, we're just going to keep on being high. And then when it comes back down the second time was when, because the reason they thought is we didn't have any storage saved up north, and they thought they'd have this big winter and everybody was going to freeze to death, and there wasn't any gas in storage, and the sky is falling and everybody's panicking, and then we literally had like the warmest winter on record. And then everybody said, oh, we dodged a bullet, and then whew, prices came all the way back down. So it was like it was a wild ride. And we saw the same thing happen when the tariffs came out. This happened just a couple weeks ago. They make an announcement, tariffs on everybody, all the prices went up. And then they said, oh, just kidding, we're gonna pause it for 90 days. Bloop, all the prices came back down. Or I said that backwards. It's when they said tariffs, everything declined, the stock market went down. And then when they said it's paused, they went back up. So we saw a knee-jerk reaction within hours. So this is your question about, you know, what, based on real time. So the left side is a futures contract. If you would have set 750, you still probably would have been about the same if you wrote it out, but then your customers aren't getting that knee-jerk. Crazy high prices, crazy low, crazy high, crazy low. On the right side is if you would have had a call option. That would have been a good time to have a call option because you couldn't have locked in. That futures contract at 750 was pretty high. Nobody wants to know they have to pay 750. So you lock in a call for $8, give yourself a little bit of cushion, but then you got that benefit when prices did come down. So the reason we say give us the option to do both is if you can lock in the $3 range, pay for futures. Chances are your prices are not going to come down that much or very little. When prices are $7.50, that's when we say lock in a call because the chances of it coming down are much higher. And the premiums associated with it, that's probably the next question you're going to ask me. So on the next slide shows what a premium is associated with the call. So let's talk a real example. Right now, a futures contract is roughly 433. This is about a month old data, but just bear with it. So 433 is a futures price. So that would be that set price for a year. If you did a call option, you want to give yourself, like I said, a little buffer. So we just gave you examples of $4.50, $5, $5.50, just for discussion purposes. The second column in, there's your premium per therm. So this is what you would charge your customers. So we're talking 3 cents down to 1.5 cent. On the far right, that's your percentage. So if you gave yourself a dollar cushion, basically, you're charging your customer or adding less than 2 cents to their bill, but protecting them that if, when we talked about, you know, $5.50, if prices come down to $2, you're saving 30 cents. So you're charging them 2 cents to save 30. That's when the call options make sense. Okay? But when prices are around $3, you don't want to pay a premium to save basically the same cost of a premium, right? Then it just doesn't justify the economics. Okay? So the next slide on here is exactly what Alan was referring to. This is, we followed FMPA's program because we're trying to keep them as consistent as possible. So this rolling program is we're recommending up to 75% of the city's average usage for the next 12 months, and this would be rolling. So in roughly 6 months from now, you could look out another 12 months from there. Up to 24 months out, we would say up to 50%, and then up to 25% basically 3 years out. So you're always stair-stepping these, and then you can add to them as the time passes. And so again, this is that steady drumbeat, just making sure that you're not caught once the volatility starts.
keep in mind it says up to. Mm-hmm. If there's no opportunities, we're not going to hedge.
Correct.
So, you know, if there's no real opportunity, we won't hedge 75% if it's not, the opportunity is not there in the market.
Correct. And to put this in perspective, so City of Clearwater had a program just like this, and so when we saw that basis blowout that I just showed a minute ago, them in Tallahassee had $2 gas. So when everybody else is paying $6, $7, they were they looked like heroes. I mean, they looked great. So, but they just had this ongoing program, and so there were days when people were paying $2.50 and they had a hedging at $3, but they felt nice and consistent, and it paid off for them. So.
And I think that makes a difference too. We have people looking at this every day.
Mm-hmm. And there's not technically a put option, is there?
You can. We just don't get into that market because what you're then trying to do is basically having somebody take your offsetting hedge. And it's like, do you, you know, there's, I don't know, it's when you start to kind of get into that area of now you're betting on the outcome.
Well, you kind of are with a call as well.
You are. A little bit, yes, but you're still betting that you think there's a higher likelihood of prices coming down than going up. If you're, right. if somebody's going to take that put, they're thinking prices are going to plummet,
right?
Right, and so most people are not going to take that, so they're going to take a higher one, and then you're not really getting the benefit of it anyway. Yes, you can do that. They call it like a collar.
Yeah, but, I don't know what's called in the gas.
Yeah, they call it a collar. We would look at that if you really wanted it. We just think that starts to get in a little bit of...
No, I think over time, the cost of gas, and at least in our lifetimes, has never went significantly down, you know, other than temporarily.
Mm-hmm. A few years ago, there was a hard stop at almost zero, right? It went negative in the Permian.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did it?
It was, but we couldn't get it. That was the problem. It was there, and they're flaring it, and we can't actually get it.
There's no way to get the pipeline,
yeah.
So
then you couldn't have done a put then?
No.
Flare it, they burn.
Because you couldn't get it.
Right. If you can't get it, you can't put a put.
Right. So the next slide on here just shows you what these volumes look like. So the yellow is your average usage. We just projected that over 3 years. And so it just shows you what 75% looks like, 50%, and 25%. So that incremental difference between the colored area and the line is what you'd be susceptible to the spot market.
Minus 60.
Yes. Oh, and that's a really good point. So this is very independent from that discounted to gas transaction that I just talked about. So if you lock in a hedge, if you lock in a futures, that discount then goes on top of it. So they do pancakes. So if you locked in $3 and you have a 60-cent discount, you're at $2.40 for that same gas. Thank you. That's a very, very good point. So the next slide is the strike price. So this is when we figure out if we're what we call in the money. So we base this on the city's budget, which I know Alan is reaching out fairly often to make sure those numbers are the most up-to-date. Most of the time, though, he's getting that what's in our budget as well, so which works out really well because all of our cities then that we're hedging for, we have the same strike price threshold that we're watching. So basically we say if we can meet your city's budget or below, we're in the money because that's what most of your customers, that's the number, the budget you're going to share to your customers as well. So kind of ignore the transportation and basis. I've tried to explain this to a couple cities, and I think it just confuses them. So ignore that part for right now. But we do account for basically getting the gas to the city. That's included in the budgeted price is the short version of that. So that's how we establish what price looks good. Typically what we'll do is we know what your budget is. We watch the market. And then when it hits the good price, we would call Alan and say, hey, we're in the money. Can we go ahead and execute this? Because anybody that follows any market, those things change rapidly. So we can't say, hey, let's get it on the next council agenda in 2 weeks from now. At that point, it's gone. So we need somebody that once we hit all of our parameters and say it checks every box, whether that's Alan or the city manager or whoever you assign says, you know, we're the person that makes that call. That's who gets to say yes, go at that point.
How many cities do you service?
We have 26 cities total, but how many are you doing hedging?
Yeah.
I think we're at 8 or 9 right now.
Okay.
And I have several others.
Similar size or bigger or smaller?
Both.
So are you kind of like our stockbroker?
Yes, on the gas side, yes.
I mean, that's what it seems like. So we pay you to like watch our stock market on natural gas.
For gas, yep. We're basically your gas broker.
Well, you're the hedge fund. I mean, you're the...
So
the pension guy.
Well, but not just
what
that.
What do you think?
Not just that. We also have the Energy Authority, which is in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. That we have an analyst there that watches natural gas for us as well.
Does Jacksonville participate in this?
Jacksonville does, because they also are a client of the Energy Authority, so they use the same service we do.
Please forgive all my questions.
No, absolutely. Thank you.
I don't mean to drag out the meeting.
We're glad to have them.
So the next slide just is a couple other things to mention. So again, we're asking for parameters. So you give us bumpers, if you will, and we stay within those, and then when we check all those boxes, like I said, that's when we have our person that is the call and say, go ahead. And again, you can terminate this at any time. So you will have to finish out any hedges that are already placed. But if you say, okay, we don't really like this program, it's not working how we thought it was, you just let us know when we terminate it. So it's not like you're locked in for any period of time. Just want to point that out. So really what we would be asking for is, again, it's another directive, falls under the same gas services agreement you have with us. So these would be the parameters that we would propose setting. So the product would be either futures contract and or call options with the associated premium. Again, that would vary much or vary depending on what the market looks like. That quantity would be up to 75% year one, 50% year two, 25% year three. Alan pointed out it does say up to. So again, we can, like right now, the market actually looked pretty good last week. It was the first time it had dipped since December. We locked in quite a bit of hedges for people. Some of our cities that though thought, oh, well, it might come down a little bit more before summer. So of the 75%, let's just lock in 50% and kind of see if we can get a little bit better right before summer. Other cities said, we love that price. We got it locked in for about $340, and they said, love it, lock it in for a year.
So the call options have a fixed ending date, just like they would in the stock market.
Exactly, right? Yep.
And is this, I don't know, controlled by the SEC? Or do they have anything to do with this?
It's a market. It's a commodities market. So right. they follow everything. And we have, when we audit, there's certain tests, if you will, that we have to do to prove that everything met the objectives. And I forget, their FMP has to do it.
And generally,
there's a test that you have to prove to your auditors.
It's in the audit report.
That they have to submit to them.
And generally, the call option can not be any more than 3 years?
No, you can go further if you want to go further.
Okay.
We are just
recommending 3 years.
Like FMPA, we kind of, that's our program is 3 years. Like we have set prices for certain segments, and that's what we look for. If we get something below that price.
I'm not sure because if you started going out longer than that, they might say no, because could lock in a $3 price range.
You could.
And if you were at 7 or 8, they're going to say, hey.
They might. It's based on whatever you can get out there. So you can go test the water and see that far, but I would say if you're going to test it that far out, be ready to execute, because as soon as they start getting people fishing around with it, they're going to start going, wait a minute, what's going on here? So yes, that's something you can do. Full disclosure. I said in the beginning where, unfortunately, we've seen too many utilities react to the market running away. So therefore, as you can imagine, several of them have felt like they've been burned, because they lock in $10 gas. And then 3 months later, prices come back down. And now everybody else is paying $4, and that utility was locked in at $10. So we've had that happen. That was not us. Full disclosure, that was not us.
You can explain it this way. Investor-owned utilities in Florida are no longer allowed to hedge because they were chasing the money. They were chasing the money.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, why wouldn't you then? I mean, because you could just lock in for 10 years on a low, and then
you can't for low, but they were locking in at a high.
Yeah, they got burned. Okay. They got burned, and so the...
Yeah. So, like, TECO People's Gas had their PGA rate, which is just their gas commodity cost, is over $11 when everybody else was between $3 and $4. Gotcha. Because they basically had these bad hedges, and then they just kept kicking them down, trying to say, oh, we'll recover them when price, you know, they just kept kicking the can down the road. So then finally, that's when, the upper powers that be stepped in and said, you are not allowed to hedge. Which is why, so this is a delicate subject, but you are absolutely right. If you can lock it in low, you absolutely should. Mm-hmm. But we've kind of tried to keep this as like an introduction, dip your toe in, get comfortable with it, because we do have so many cities that are hesitant, right? Because they just remember those bad times that happened.
Well, the higher risk is with a call option than it is, I think, with a fixed. But.
And again, it depends. Like, if you can lock in 340.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I'm locking in all day.
Right, I would right definitely now say a futures. Yep.
Right. The furthest down, well, I guess the furthest down if you go at zero, but.
I think the lowest we've seen. Well, and again, so it's an average, right, of the whole year. You're not, so if you looked at any given month, one month might be lower, but that way we just help smooth that curve across the whole year. So we have seen it go down. I think the lowest I've seen in 15 years was $1.70 something.
$1.67,
yeah. Yeah, somewhere right around there. And people were being laid off left and right because nobody could, they just couldn't operate at that. So we lost, of the 80 suppliers that we deal with, I think 10 or 15 of them went under completely, out of business, when the gas prices were that low. And the ones that could hang on with the BPs and ExxonMobils and the, you know, all the Shells and the big guys that, you know, could ride out the storm. But all like the startups or the fairly new companies, they just couldn't keep it. So like I said, that $3 is really kind of that sweet spot. So in the industry.
It's like $65 a barrel, right?
There you
below
go.
Below that, you're not going to produce.
Exactly.
So just cap your wells.
Yep. So we just think this is something. I mean, he said that from the very beginning. It's a tool, right? It's a tool to help mitigate risk, price movement to your customers. It helps them budget. You can use this if, do you have a, I know we talked about this, a rate stabilization fund.
We
think you do. Yeah. So this goes along with that. It goes along with the prepaid or the discounted gas. These are all things to just help have nice, consistent, smooth pricing to your customers.
Yeah, just to play off of what Katie just said with rate stabilization, and Alan and I talked about that just a little bit this morning. We have what's called a rate stabilization fund internal of the organization, which is basically a pot of money, and it acts as a damper to help absorb some of the swings that you might see in the market during the course of the year. This, if this tool is approved, this would be used in conjunction with the rate stabilization fund. So while the 75, 50, 25 would be upper limits, chances are we would start with something much smaller and see how those two tools work together to make sure that we're providing consistent rates to our residents and to our customer base. From there, we can explore growing it a little bit more, but we want to make sure that we do it in a very regimented fashion and that we figure out what works best for our system and our customers and keeps us out of the fray of going too far in one direction or the other. Any more questions for Katie?
So you, in essence, act like the fiduciary for the hedge?
Kind of. So we use a clearinghouse.
Okay.
So we just watch the market. We see when it hits the parameters we want. We call, get confirmation from our members, and then we place it through the clearinghouse. So they're really the fiduciary.
And who's the clearinghouse?
So we use a couple. And we are actually currently switching right now to, this. See, now we're getting away in the weeds. So we're switching, we're actually going to use JP Morgan and Goldman Sachs. And the reason for that is because we're doing so much hedging now, we have what's called an interlocal service. No, it's called, I'm getting that confused with the ISBA now. This is the swaps and derivatives, International Swaps and Derivatives Association, I think is what it stands for. Agreement is that, agreement.
Yeah.
That we sign with them, and that allows us to not have to place margin calls, which is, if anybody knows anything about margin calls, that can be quite burdensome when the market is jumping all around. You have to either pay or be paid based on what the market does, based on your hedges, every day. And so what we would have, if we have several hedges in place, we're just spending a bunch of time swapping money.
At FMPA, we do that.
Yes, and I tried to convince them, like, come on, Jacob, do it this way.
Yeah, yeah.
So basically they say our credit is good, and our credit's really good because we're backed by the state, right? We're state utilities or you know, cities that are backed by state. So we're very low risk. And so JP Morgan and Goldman Sachs said, because of your credit rating, we don't require up to $30 million. If our margin would get more than $30 million, which we're not even close to, but if we did, that's how much they can extend credit to us for the margins for our transactions. So it just makes our life a lot easier. So that's who we're actually switching to as of literally last week.
Who were you with before?
It was it's a company that's changed names like 3 times. I could get it for you.
I was just curious.
Yeah, I can get that for you. They created a new
name. Everybody knows who JP Morgan is.
And that's what we also felt like, that was just a recognizable.
Well, they're a pretty stable company.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Too big to fail.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Why? Well, they're doing good for our pension. Let's just put that.
I just was curious. So if we move forward, or if we don't, does it make any difference to you financially?
No. Okay. No, we're a nonprofit, so we don't make any money on any of this.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. I didn't know.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. We have no skin in the game. We just look out for opportunities for our members and their gas rates. But no, we do not make any money on if you did either of these options or neither of these options.
Thank you, Ms.
Less work for her.
Yeah.
We're doing it.
Okay.
Hey, it's good job security. And I like to come and meet everybody so you know what we do because, you know, I deal with Alan and I occasionally get to come in and present to them. But otherwise, you probably never even know that we exist and how closely we do work together. So we do love this opportunity and we are working very hard for you every day.
Well, gators are always welcome.
There you go. Even better. Even better.
So we have two placeholders on next Monday's council meeting. One is for the directive on the prepaid purchase discount, and the second is on the strategic heading.
I may not be able to get the second one done, but hopefully I can.
Is that?
I can get the one on. I can probably get them both done because I know you reviewed everything.
That's the director's one. I know.
Yeah, then I can do it. Yeah, he's done. That's right.
He did both.
So, Katie, if we can't get the second one done until the
19th?
19th? Would that still give you enough time?
I mean, we're at your schedule.
Okay. We need to know from you, though. If we're
we need to know if we can.
Time.
You'll be fine.
Who decides?
So that's the 19th.
So,
and when you say the second one, you're talking about the hedging?
Who decides?
Right. I think I'll be able to. I should have. I'm off the rest of the week after Wednesday. That's why I'm curious. So.
Oh, I see.
So you're talking about May 19th.
If we can have it all ready for next Monday, we'll bring them for next Monday. If not, we'll bring them both on the 19th.
Okay.
Yeah, we're at your timeline. I will say right now, the market has been very conducive to hedging in this last week, which if you would have asked me 2 weeks ago, I think when we originally met, or 3 weeks ago, or it's been a while, it was not. It has since dipped. So we are locking it in currently right now. So if you can get it in, we might be able to hit all those targets, but if not, there will be another time. So we're, like Alan said, just because it gives us the authority to go up to those thresholds doesn't mean we're going to rush to get there. We're going to wait till we see the good pricing.
So, Councilman Jansen, to answer your question, the proposal for the 75, 50, and 25, my guess is being worked into the resolution as guardrails of maximums for each of the 3 years. Is that?
That's more substantive. I mean, we could do it that way.
Yeah, I don't recall that being. I don't recall.
Who determines the quantity?
That would probably be, I'm guessing, the city manager or the city manager's designee.
Okay.
I think that's the way we would want it to be written.
Okay.
City manager or designee.
I think it was the directive that you provided. And I don't think it had parameters as far as the 75-50.
It does on the exhibit.
So the exhibit does, correct.
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah, and that we did it that way on purpose so that, like you said, if you ever wanted to extend it, you're just extending the exhibit. So.
I would just like to make sure that Alan has, you say you or your designee. Well, I know who I'd want your designee to be, you know what I mean? So why don't we just write that in there, that it be Alan, you know, or your title, you know, the director.
I like that.
So.
It probably should be the CEO of the organization.
Okay.
And again, designee would be for Alan if, you know, if we're on the same page, that, like I said, this is going to be working in conjunction with the rate stabilization fund. So what I wouldn't want
to do is... So I want it to be you, but I want to make sure that designee is him.
Yeah. Yeah, if you want to call out city manager or designee the Beaches Energy Services Director, that's designated. But yeah, that would make the most sense. I don't want the Public Works Director
responsible
for making that
decision. Right. Well, no shame on Dennis, but anyone else.
Oh, you know. Right.
Ultimately, if we're talking
CFO
about...
CFO would be another potential designee.
Right.
So that's where I think city manager or designee would give us
some flexibility. Yeah.
He's not going to designate.
Okay.
someone who's not qualified.
Okay.
That, you know, it's just to make sure that there's always someone.
Well, Alan's got always got his thumb on what the numbers are doing on a day-to-day basis.
Right. Absolutely, and so does Ashley. So
they just
approve. When we talk about locking in a long-term fiscal commitment,
you should definitely sit at an upper echelon position. That's okay.
Be delegated below the department director. No. That doesn't make sense to do that.
And we'd be talking about it anyway. So right. I wouldn't be doing anything before I talked to either Mike or Karen. Anyway.
Sure.
Just in my notes, I wrote down 30-year commitment. What was that related to? How does
that was for the discounted gas transaction. Okay. Those prepaid deals are 30-year deals.
Okay.
It is a 30-year commitment, but there are lots of opportunities to get out of that.
Correct.
Without penalty.
Under various circumstances, without penalty.
Okay, I didn't see that part.
Yeah, that was this one here. Florida Gas Utility, providing natural gas services.
No, go one more slide down.
Sorry?
That one, there you go. That one. The 30-year commitment.
30-year commitment.
Okay, yeah, that's what I'm reading now. Yep.
So, Mike, can I ask a quick question? So, do you want us to write that into the resolution? I guess my concern is, what if all of a sudden FMPA says, well, we're going to start looking at these time frames instead of 12, 18, 24, 36, and say...
Well, Katie, we'll defer to you to get us some examples of what other communities have adopted, and then that way we can structure ours for what we think works best for us.
Sure. So, a lot of our cities don't even do a resolution; they just approve the directive itself. I did provide a resolution example that we've only had two cities that I know of do a resolution for it, and they just basically defer to approving the directive that's provided. They don't put the specifics in there.
I think that's what we did.
And that's what
I reviewed so far. That's
and the reason for that is just like what Alan said. So if anybody wants to change the exhibit on there, they don't feel like they have to go back and, because a lot of them have like the resolutions require, you know, multiple readings, or there's a little bit more formality with it, where if it's just changing the exhibit or the directive, they feel like maybe they can have a little.
I mean, I think because they serve both FMPA and the cities, it was kind of made that way so that we'd be in step with each other as far as the time frames for looking out for pricing.
But we can operate with whichever you know you're more comfortable with.
I would want to make sure that our council is comfortable with the level of specificity that you're awarding for us to execute. If you'd like to see it is there a consensus to see it in a structure of 1, 2, and 3 years? Do you want to just see it as a maximum cap period that says it shall not be for more than 3 years, shall not be more than 75%? Or do you want to see it gradated on a per year basis?
Do you have that directive by chance?
I do not.
Okay. I knew I should have brought a copy of it. I almost did.
I have it in my office.
That's okay. But that is outlined
in the directive.
So it's not like it's just for clarification, it's not like it's not defined in there. It's just not necessarily outlined in the resolution. But it is in the directive.
And you referenced the directive in the resolution.
Yeah, so are you all comfortable with what you're seeing for the numbers for us to put that in a directive and attach it and cross-reference through the resolution?
I'm with Councilman Jansen.
I'm seeing heads nodding. That's good. Okay, so that'll go as an attachment.
Let's get it done then.
Perfect.
Thank you.
But I would like to ask Director Putman, do you have any thoughts or feelings you could share with us? You're an expert on all this stuff. What do you think?
Well, I can assure you this, that I mean, we've been doing this for at least 2.5 years now, FMPA, hedging natural gas for purchasing for generation. It's worked out really well. We've saved a lot of money, and I know that's not really the end goal is to save money, it's to lock in budget certainty, but we've actually saved a lot of money. So it's worked very well for us.
Thank you.
I know you've been a big part of that. FGU has been a big part of that. Working with us.
Any other questions for Katie and Alan while we have them here?
I have a question for Alan and you, but totally unrelated to all this, but Beecher's Energy. So I can wait till after Katie's done.
Well, that was the one item that we have on our special briefing for tonight. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and adjourn the briefing, because this is an extra briefing anyways. We also have shirts. 6:30. These are extra shirts. These were opening of the beaches weekend. Not parade, but just opening of the beaches.
Man, Parks and Rec sure loves their t-shirts.
They sure do.
So take a look if you can find
what
your size.
What size is that? There was a parade one and a weekend one. It was like the parade was the
if you can find your size, you got a parade. If you can't find your size, Molly will try and get you the appropriate size.
It's a better color than that, so dark blue.
That's an XL.
I wasn't crazy about that one.
Yeah.
When it comes to...
Should I go ahead and close the briefing?
Is that for a premium shoe?
What's that?
An XL? Never mind.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and close the briefing first.
That's right.
Thank you all very much.